right, welcome to the third episode of Friday Podcasts at Markham. Lake's away on annual leave today, so new face on board, yeah. Henry Mitchell.
Thanks, Doug. I think Lake's up snorkeling on the poor nights, actually, taking a bit of R&R and getting away from work.
That's a beautiful spot up there. He'll be no doubt enjoying it.
Always encourage our staff and team here to pick and book the next holiday. It's always something to look forward to.
Definitely.
Working at Markham, one of the good, awesome parts about it.
Yeah, 100%. There's never much resistance. Work hard, play hard. It's good to live by. Anyway, we will be trying to get more people from Markham involved on this podcast. So Henry's jumped on the phone a couple of times. He's here in real life today. We'll see who we get on next week. But what we always want to do is answer the question is what's one thing this week that, or what's one thing in general you wish your clients or whoever, anyone knew about concrete. So yeah, let's kick off with that, and then should we have a look at some any highlights of the week as well to finish off?
Yep, sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good, mate.
You got anything in terms of what you wish people knew about concrete?
No, you caught me in the hop, but then, but you've been doing some R&D stuff out the back, haven't you? In our lab.
Yeah, we have. Looking at some abrasion testing, so comparing a control concrete to treated concrete, so a variety of different treatments. Obviously, our Acuron range, we're always wanting to make sure that's keeping up, with the different concretes that people are using these days. So that's been interesting. So some real life tests out the back there, out in the yard, which is always good. Going to get that real life. Also, we're just keeping on our database full of the permeability testing as well. So always a GWT. Probably what I wish one in that regard, what wish people knew about concrete is that it's a very variable material. So when you're doing testing and things with it, you've got to keep repeating and you've got to do a high volume of testing to get a to observe a pattern, observe a trend. So you've got, even just practically thinking about the cement, aggregate, sand, the amount of water you put in, how long it's mixed. There's so many things to think about just from the mix alone. And you know, little wee changes do affect. So it's real important to have that consistency there.
And a lot of that testing we do in the lab, obviously, but is there a difference between the testing done in the lab and done in real life? Like, I don't actually know the answer, or I'm just asking, but like, is there much testing done on real life concrete or real life structures, that sort of thing? It's not practical to do that all the time.
No, there is limited to what you can do. Obviously, the lab is set up so you can control as much of those variables as possible.
Yeah.
But what happens is you end up controlling them too much, and they end up being better than they are in the real world. So even just a basic thing like compression cylinders, when you cast them in the lab, it's it's nice temperature, it's consistent. They go into a water bath for the 7 days or 28 days whenever you're crushing them.
Yeah.
And so they're getting the best hydration, best cure possible. Whereas if you take that out on a slab, out in the open, or even an indoor slab that's, might have air blowing across it, it might be hot, might be cold, whatever, both are as bad as each other in terms of drying concrete out. And you get different results. So
as far as
on site, it's more around looking at the permeability of the concrete. It's the test we like to use the most.
Yeah.
The GWT rig, which can be, bolted on and tested before and after, shows a really quick indication of the effect we're having on the concrete.
How does that work? So you bolt it on and then it, and that tests the permeability by pressure of
pumping it does,
water into the concrete, or?
Correct, yeah. So there's a, it puts like a, I think it's like a 60 mil diameter area of pressure into the onto the concrete. You can vary the pressure depending on what you want. We normally do to 10 meters. It's a fairly sort of average water pressure if you think about a reservoir or a tank, or if you're wanting to sort of accelerate the effects of driving rain, that sort of thing. So yeah, that's what we normally do. There is many other there's a few other non-destructive testing, around looking at the resistivity of concrete. The only challenge with that is that we hydrogels do conduct electricity, so or conduct charges, so it can give you a false reading. So yeah, GWT is what we use the most. But yeah,
Well, that's
that's
interesting. It's a quick R&D update, I guess.
yeah, no, there's plenty more to talk about on that topic for another time. But yeah, what's the highlight of your week?
I was just actually catching up mostly this week. I've had some pretty good chats. I spent 3 days in Melbourne last week,
Oh, nice. Yep.
with Alex Portelli, our design guy out of Sydney, which is fun. Caught
Yeah,
up with
cool.
him.
Isn't
Seen
someone
the
saying Melbourne's been real busy? Is it busier than you've noticed it before, or what's it?
traffic's nuts.
Yeah, okay.
Drives your head up, but
Yeah. You
no,
don't cope
that's
with traffic.
no, I don't cope with traffic.
Oh.
No, I came out
Not
on
my
the
favourite thing.
out of the office on the Wednesday night and took the wrong turn twice, so that put me back by about 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And I knew exactly what I was doing. I was coming out. I was supposed to go down the middle one, and you went down the left one, and
Yeah.
had to go about 25 minutes over the wrong way.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Brisbane, we had, I mean, Melbourne, we had some flipping good meetings. Basically, rent to build's actually keeping the market going down at the moment.
Okay. Yeah.
Quite interesting. So a lot of, which is shows his confidence out there. The guys are putting, investors are putting a lot of money forward to build these apartments and these rent to build apartment buildings. So we were talking about basement waterproofing
Oh,
and how we can help out there. And
you're
yeah, but
finding that everyone's getting their head around the new standard, or is it more that they're adopting it rather than having to get their
yeah,
head
there's
around it?
not all that they are. I mean, waterproofing consultants, they follow the standard,
Yeah.
the BS 8102 standard. That's a British standard, pretty closely anyway. Because obviously New Zealand and Australia hasn't got a
Yeah,
waterproofing standard. Though it'll
that's it.
come, it won't be far away. But
Yep.
they've got to relate back to the British standard because those guys are the guys that do waterproofing.
Yep.
And that's the cool part about the new Basetek system. We've got the membrane, physical membrane, is that it all complies with all those standards. So yeah, we can help out there. But yeah, there's a bit going on. The markets is, I mean, a lot of guys hurting out there, but I reckon, I don't know, gut feeling, like even over the last 4 weeks, there's been heaps of inquiries and heaps of big projects just starting to go
Yeah.
get cracking. And like obviously we're seeing stuff here at Markham, because we work from design through to insulation, we see stuff as early as possible and it's well early. So a lot of those guys out there hurting now, potentially there is light at the end of the tunnel. A
Yeah.
lot of guys saying June, August, this stuff's going to just start cranking,
Yeah,
which is.
no, that's interesting, because it's a similar vibe we're getting from the mining market as well. So everyone's lots of projects sort of getting ready to go, and feasibility studies, that type of thing. So yeah, no, it is yeah, like you say, some people are busy, some people are finding it a bit tougher. But yeah, I think if we people can just hang in for a few more months, and it's gonna get busier. It has to. There's
No, there's heaps going on. And then obviously the other thing I was just thinking about is the old cyclone in Brizzy. Like that's, we got an office up in Bundaberg. We've got guys on the ground in Brisbane, so hopefully we'll keep them safe out there. But it brings back a few memories. 2 years ago, old Cyclone Gabrielle smashed the whole east coast of the North Island.
Yeah, it
So yeah,
does.
hope
No, that
everybody's
was a
staying safe and
yeah,
hasn't quite
similar.
hit yet, has it?
No,
Brisbane,
it's kind
Brisbane.
of threatening a bit, but no, we're definitely thinking of all our contacts in that area. Stay safe and yeah, do what you need to prepare and look after your loved ones. You're going back to Cyclone Gabrielle, you've had a bit to do with the rapid relief team and that's something you volunteer for outside of work. You know, give us a 30 seconds on that and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah. We're just a charity I'm part of. Do a lot for the first responders and fireys, police, all those guys, keep them fed and watered.
Mm-hmm.
In a big disaster like that. But also I was just thinking, like, even here at Markham, where we've got our whole our Conquer Your Health thing, team. We've got a team here that, so we try to, obviously we've got to do our day job and work, but it's one of the things we do here is also give back and try to do something outside of work. So each month we do a fitness challenge. Last month we did a big team bike ride out around Napier. The Sydney team got out on their bikes. We've given to the rescue helicopter. We've got World Down Syndrome Day coming up. So there's a committee of team members from about seven of us here at Markham, and we get on once a month and sort of got a budget and work out where we can give to people in need and that sort of thing.
No, it's awesome. No, that's good. No, thanks for jumping on, and we'll see you all again in a week or so.
Yeah, sweet house, okay.